Ready to get fucking nasty?
No.
What's going on, gang? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Lev First Show. I'm so used to saying young daddy. It like wants to come out of me every time, but glad you guys are here. I'm so excited to do this episode. I've been trying to get this fucking guy on for like a year and a half now. But really quickly, I just wanted to say, as you might have noticed, we got some fire-ass artwork out. And I just wanted to plug the artist that did it. Her name is StormAlexis96 on Instagram. Honestly, probably the best, the easiest graphic design job I've ever had in my life. I mean, this chick was fucking awesome. Did everything I asked her to do. Like, I feel like I'm talking about a sexual partner right now. Like, did everything I asked. She was great. Great energy. Knew how to hold a paintbrush. But no, she was fucking just a tremendous artist. I'm so impressed with the job she did. She gave me exactly what I needed. So if you guys are looking for a graphic designer, absolutely check her out. I'm going to pull up her website right now. It's stormshearercreative.com, StormSHearer creative.com. Definitely check her out. I honestly can't recommend her enough. So hit her up. Go get some great graphic designs done if you need it. And without further ado, the guest of the hour, Ian Lara, comedian, been on The Tonight Show, been on Comedy Central. Also, more importantly, one of my favorite people in the world.
What up, Lev, man? I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Return the compliment, bud.
You know, black people can't show emotion. Cool too.
That's as much as I've ever gotten from a black guy. You cool, man.
You cool too. Yeah. Nah, you know we've been boys. I've known you for so long. I feel like since like you started, basically, since you moved to New York.
Well, you know what's so funny is, for one, whenever a black guy says to a white guy, you're cool, it really just means the world. You know, like I can remember every person that's ever said that to me. But you were always my friend in comedy who like, you know, I moved here. I was like a shithead, like 18-year-old kid. I was like so overly ambitious. I was like, I'm going to fucking take over the, I'm going to be on SNL in a week. Like that was me at 18. I was like a lunatic, but you need that like level of arrogance, you know?
For sure. I mean, for sure. But I mean, people had a problem. Like people took a,
wait, hold up. Your mic cut out.
Did it?
Yeah. Go back. You said people took it personally.
I was saying, yeah, people took it personally. Like people like, cause you were like, I want to sell out Madison Square Garden, you know? And people took that.
I said that.
Yeah, but people took that like you were telling them that they couldn't do it. But it was like, that's what he wants to do. He's still cool. Like every time we hung out, it was still cool. Like I didn't feel like you were shitting on people or not a good person. So I don't get that.
Well, what's so funny to me is you were like always the friend when I'd be like, yo, like I just got this thing. Like I just got past this comp. Like things are going good. And you'd be like, things are not going good. You'd be like, no, they're not. You need to zoom out. You're not funny yet. Like you haven't done this yet.
So not going good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I have that to a fault where like I'll just say like the shit
I agree
that I'm thinking and the shit that other people think it. I don't know. Like it just fell on me. Like I just be saying it. But only to my friends though. Like if you weren't my friend, I wouldn't say that. I would just be like, yeah, you're killing it.
No, I mean you would be the last person ever that I would come to with good news. It's just like,
but that's not true, because when you did like the Ray Donovan, I was like, that's huge. Like, that's great. That's huge. That's a big deal. That's amazing. Like,
yeah, that might have been the first thing that you were like.
But when you tell me I'm taping a documentary about myself, I'm like, dude, you hit the drawing board.
Yeah. No, but also you taught me an important piece of advice, I think, which was like, I remember I got upset with a different like podcaster because like, I asked them to do their show because I was like promoting a tour, and this is a person that I would like talk to all the fucking time, and they didn't like say anything. They basically just ghosted me like out of nowhere. And then like the next time, like they were like, "Hey, let's try to bang chicks." I'm like, "Are you not just gonna bring up the fact that I messaged you 9 times last week?"
Yeah.
So it like bugged the shit. But I remember I told you, I was like, "Yeah, I just like cut that person off. Like I just don't think that's how it should work." And you told me like, listen, people fucking move up and move down. And right. I got randomly dark, but they're like, people like move up and move down, and you shouldn't cut people off just because they're not being good to you or giving you that loyalty right now. Like
at that point, yeah. Because you never know, that dude could end up being the next Rogan, and then he'll put you on that. a way bigger platform. So is it all forgiven then? You know, so why even stress out? Plus, you both doing good. Like, it's no need for that, man.
That's fine. That's a good point. It's like, is it going to be fine then? Like, because I like to do favors for people. I genuinely just like, you know, like working with my friends. So it's like any excuse I get to do that, you know.
Yeah.
Me
too.
Yeah,
And also, even if you're not my friend, like if I can help, I'm a help. If I could, if it's easy to help, I'm a help. Like,
right.
I don't know. I think I'm different like that. But some people definitely do take it personal. Some people be like, no, you can't promote to my 200 listeners. I'm like,
yeah.
But that's kind of how I've always been. Like, I've been like that. Like, I don't really like asking people for stuff. But if you need my help, I'm always willing to help.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the same way. Like, you know, young comics sometimes will be like, hey, do you want, like I'm starting a podcast. Don't interrupt me and talk about how I'm a young comic. I can see it in your face.
I was like, I'll let it go.
No, but you know, like baby comedians, like, you know, 2-3 years in, they want to start a podcast. And like, you know, when they ask me to grab a drink with them and talk to them about it, I do. It's just to like, you know, I get pleasure from helping other people. It's like a nice, you know.
Me too. And also, I remember what it was like to be there. I mean, just yesterday, I was talking to a comedian who was like stressed out about like not being able to get spots. And like, he's like, oh, I hit people up and they like don't answer me or like they ignore me and they seen me do well, but they still won't put me on the show. And I was like, man, just don't worry about that. Like, none of that.
You're like, don't worry. You're not going to make it. Just like pack it up. Comedy's over.
I'm like, start a podcast, dude. You're not doing this. Isn't for you.
Yeah. Dude, the amount of times in my first 5 years of comedy that I'd walk into a conversation with you, like excited about something and walk away heartbroken.
I feel like I'm leveled though. Like, also, if you're super down about shit, I'll bring you to the level, to like the base level too. Like, it's not like I'm just trying to shit on you. I'm trying to get people like out of, you know, I like, because you know, this is a marathon, you know, one day, whatever. And then the next day you're huge. So, you know, you can't let the good get too into your head. Same way you can't let the bad. So I try to keep people like, you know, like base level. And I try to keep myself base level too, because I get those same emotions.
Yeah. Well, I think that's super important because like, I feel like, especially when one of my character flaws, I feel like, is that everything is like high intensity for me. You know what I mean? It's everything is like high and low, big booms, you know, big depressions.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, and that's with everything, you know what I mean? It's for everything from friendships to like relationships to career stuff. And like, I was like
the kind of person, like when you meet a girl, if you really like her, you're going big.
Yeah. No, I'm like, I'll be joking around like a day's in. I'll be like, yeah, we'll probably get married. Like, it's whatever, you know, just like fucking around. But yeah, I go like all in. Like, the thing that's always kept me in my relationships is when I'm like so head over heels for a girl up top.
Yeah.
But usually that like just ends up within 2 months. You realize like, oh, this is,
man, it fizzles. That's why if I'm in a relationship, if I'm dating somebody, cause you know, sometimes, especially with social media, you see so many people who look happy on the internet, and I'm like, if they look too happy, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. Cause everybody know, like, nobody's happy like that. Happy. Like, yeah, you meet somebody, you like them, you guys get along, and you have ups and downs, like everything else. And then you have ups and downs. Sometimes you happy. But there's people that just every time is just happiness is my thing. Like, I'm sure you've known like a lot of plenty girls who, you know, would be happy on the gram, but then you're like, but she cheats on him every chance she gets.
Anytime you see like a picture of a couple and they're like holding hands or like, I just want to thank God for my miracle person. Like, you know, after she took that photo, she's like powdering a black eye. Like, shit's fucked up in that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah.
The healthy relationships, like, you don't even know they're together.
Yeah. Those are the good ones. Those are the good ones where you find out they're together when the kid turns five. The kid's 5-year-old. You're like, you guys had a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 5.
Yeah, like fucking, they invite you to the wedding. It's like, you guys are together? Like, when you get married on the first date?
Yeah. I'm also like, even if I'm like the happiest, I'm also like super, super private, especially with like what we do. Like, I just try to remain private because, you know, like, I don't even post my parents. Like, I won't post my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister. Like, no family. Like, if you follow me on any of my accounts, I try to keep it completely either just about me or comedy.
Dude, I have my family blocked on everything just so nobody else can see them. You know what I mean? I don't need anybody sending my dad my dick pic.
Yeah,
I'll send it myself.
Right. He already has that framed in his living room. There's no need to forward it to him on Instagram.
Kisses it every day.
Yeah, man. Because, you know, like, you have people that'll just, like, go through your followers. And then they'll, like, you post a picture with your mom. They'll follow your mom.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is, you know, she didn't sign up for that.
No.
Same thing with, like, a relationship. Like, some girls, you know, girls, and I get it. Girls want to be posted. They want to be shown, you know, they want to be appreciated and shown. I understand that. But with what we do, I feel like it's such a weird thing.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. And also, like, sometimes you ever had this, like, this is also something I don't want. Like, sometimes you could post a picture with a girl and then other girls would DM you, like, shitting on that girl. And you're like,
oh, yeah,
this is my girl. And you're like, they're like, just, she's ugly, she's stupid, you can do way better.
And
you're like,
yeah, I know, but still my girl.
She's the one I love.
You know, it's, I'll one up you. Ryan Long actually told me a story recently where he was like, when he would post a girl, I think it was him, other girls like message that girl and be like, I fucked your boyfriend. And like people he hadn't even met, like just random chicks on the internet would like just try to fucking catapult their relationships.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane, dude. It's insane. That's why, like, I think it's best to keep it separate, man. Just keep it separate. Be like J. Cole. Like, J. Cole has like two kids. He's married. Nobody's ever seen his wife. Nobody knows who she is. You could walk right by her and you wouldn't know who she is. Cause people out there, you gotta worry, not only there's like the girls who will hit you up talking shit, and then there's the dudes who like are, you know, just as shitty, who will DM her or like follow her or
like, some jealous guy will like all of a sudden start to be like, hey, you know, he fucked this chick 6 months ago or something, like before your relationship even. Yeah, like social media today can very easily end someone's relationship.
Well, are you kidding me? I think that's like 90% of why every relationship ends is social media.
Yeah.
That's
it's like
that ends it.
There's so many different things that can go wrong through social media. And just like, it's a dangerous thing. Like, social media can make every person feel terrible. And at a time when everybody's got like fucking anxiety.
It does. It makes every person feel terrible. Like, literally, that's its purpose. That serves its purpose. I try to keep it like, you know, because of what we do, you know, there's a need for social media for us. We got to be active. We got to be posting. And even like sometimes like, and you, I mean, you know better than anyone. Sometimes you'll like post like a selfie or some quote unquote man dot thirst trap. And people think that you just want to be like a dot. But sometimes you're like, I need to post something. And I have nothing to post. Like,
yeah.
I don't have anything to post. And I need to keep the algorithms like like going.
Yeah.
Like, every time I'm about, like, if I'm about to, like, post some stand-up or, like, promote something or whatever, you try to get the algorithm up on your page, obviously, so you can get to the top. So, I don't have, like, what am I going to post? So, like, I'll post, you know, some dot picture.
You with fucking chapstick on.
Yeah. And but that's just to get, you know, to get the algorithm going.
For
promote my stand-up, or I can promote whatever I'm about to do.
It's social media. Like, people like seeing attractive people. It's just like, what, you know what I mean? Like, especially like if you're a young guy or something in entertainment or something, like a lot of your fans are just going to be women, young women that want to have sex with you. Same way as like, if you're a female in the spotlight, it's going to be a lot of dudes who want to fuck you. Like, that's why there's OnlyFans. That's, Instagram is built on men wanting to fuck hot chicks.
Yeah.
Like, that's the formula for it. And it goes both ways. Like, Justin Bieber popped off because every 14-year-old girl in the country was like, I want to have my first period with that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I try to not let that be a thing, though. I try to, like, sometimes if like, I'll get a DM or I'll get, like, somebody hit me up where I feel like she's not a fan of mine. She's like kind of just being like, oh, I would hook up with you. Like, to me, I'm like, normally that would be cool. But right now, like, I just want you to like my comedy. Like, I don't want you, you know, like, I'm not looking, like 99% of the time men were looking for like that affirmation from women. Like, yeah, he gets girls, he, you know, but like when we're on stage or when we're dealing with our profession, that's like the only time when we're like, oh no, but what about these jokes?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like women comedians, they feel it 1,000%. Cause I felt it like a little bit. Like, I've been a couple times where like I'm on stage and I'll get heckled some like flirty shit from like some older woman. And it's like, I hate it. Like, it's the worst.
Yeah, yeah.
And women, they deal with it like every day. Like, that's their thing every day. It's so like, that sucks.
Listen, this podcast is not about empowering women. So let's no, I'm just fucking, can you imagine I get like upset?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but like, yeah, that's like the worst as a comedian. I feel like one of the worst things you could get is like if you post like a stand-up clip or something and somebody goes, "You're so hot." And yeah. It's like, what? Like, DM me that shit, but at least comment. Like, this is funny as shit. Like, all we care about as comics is being funny. Like, right. It's 95% being funny, and then 5% is being a person and, like, wanting to be wanted and wanting, you know.
Right.
Et cetera. And it's also
a thing of, like, you know, like, if you're doing this, if you want to do stand-up for your career, then you have to be cognizant of the fact that, like, you're not going to be the hot guy forever.
Yeah.
You know, that gets played out. Like, it gets, you know, there comes a where you have to, I mean, even look like you, like with the young dad, like you're kind of like rebranding. And that doesn't mean that you're making a complete new show, but you understand that, like, I have to, you know, like, I have to, as I grow into myself, I have to, you know, take the brand with me. You don't want to be young daddy at 35.
No, I felt uncomfortable at 23 being that. Right. I was, you know, anytime someone would be like, "What's your podcast called?" I'd get this feel, I'd be like, "Oh, I'm about to tell a 40-year-old the name of my podcast."
Yeah.
And be embarrassed. Like, I never like wanted to be like the sexy comedian. I never did. Like I'm just a pervert, and I like, you know, like that's all. My brain is always either on sex or like some weird obscure fucking thing, which is like when I try to dive into that shit on stand up. But like with a podcast, you're talking to a human, so it's so easy to just be like, "What's up in your relationship? Like, who are you fucking?" It's everybody's got a million thoughts on it, so it's just like it's what people naturally talk about. Sex is like everybody's secret. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Sure.
But I look at, like, I never wanted to be like Chris D'Elia, like, but you know, before he got fucking that, like, I never wanted to be that. I never wanted to be like the sexy comedian who rolls in a fucking, like, an Urban Outfitters, like, baggy t-shirt. It's like, the comedians I liked were all like ugly, fat pieces of shit. Like, that's who I look. I thought Louis C.K. dressed well. Like, when I was young, I was like, black t-shirt, boots and jeans. That's it. Like, that was me at fucking 18, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand. And, you know, I'm like, from day one, I've always been like, comedy's always been like, this is going to be my career. So most of the moves I make, I try to like put myself in that position. And, you know, you don't want to fall into that. You don't want to fall into the hot guy. Because it's tough to be the hot guy and like and like comedically respected, you know?
Yeah,
The other guys are like, "Look at this fucking tool bag." And even the girls, you know, they're like, "Look at this. What is he, like a model? He does his comedy? What a loser," you know?
So I like how you just took every fucking bash against me and just said it to my face.
Yeah, well, we have a group chat where we talk shit, and I was reviewing it before the show.
It's just called the Lev Fur Show. It's just a group chat on Instagram.
Everyone's like, "Call him a fat loser."
Every guest does that. That's every guest that comes on this show.
Yeah, they call you a fat loser.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'm eating less now. I'm on my way down. I'm feeling a little more trim. I feel like I'm going to get into pants within a week.
Good.
And, you know, I also realized I shaped up my beard a little bit today. If you just take a fucking razor across, dude, it takes you literally like 1 or 2 points up in hotness.
Yeah, yeah.
Like immediately.
Yeah.
Just trimming up your beard.
I was actually talking about that with somebody recently because I was on the phone with them. I think it was Chris actually. And I was on the phone with him and he was like, "Oh, what are you about to do?" I was like, "Oh, I'm going to go get a haircut." And he was like, "What? You never need a haircut." And I was like, "Cause I always get a haircut."
Yeah.
Like, you haven't seen me within like 7 days of not getting a haircut. Like I always look, but this is not how I look. Like if I let myself go, you know,
right.
It's not to look like beard shaped up. It's like, I'm always getting a haircut. I try to look presentable though.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like shaping up your beard does like wonders.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, because I'm about to do some popular, you know, Instagram show where you like go on a date with the host or whatever. And I'm doing it because it's like a big show. But like, you know, to us, like internally, that's just like a fucking nightmare. But I'm also like, the feeling is, I know when I show up for that, I'm like, if you don't look as good as you can, you're not going to get followers from it. Like, you'll get two people that follow you because they think you're funny. But people who, like, for as far as social media goes, like, it's the same thing, like what I'm trying to say, like, you know, like, female friends of ours, when they just show up to do any podcast, they do their fucking makeup, they show up looking good, and the reason they do it is because they know a camera's on.
Yeah.
And it's like, they do that for everything, like, even if they're just coming to do your podcast in your living room, full fucking face of makeup, they're going to bring it just in case there's a photo, because they know, once that photo comes out, if I look good, I'm going to get more traction on it.
Right. Right. I mean, I kind of carry myself that way regardless of wherever I'm going to be on. Like, it don't matter if I'm going to be on a podcast or TV. Like, I'm always pretty, I try to be put together. But yeah, I mean, that is true.
If, did you say I'm always pretty?
I try to be pretty put together.
No, you are pretty.
I feel like if that's what you, also, I think you have to be understand if that's what you're selling, then yeah. For somebody like my guy Stavros, like Stavros gets a bunch of hot girls. Like I've seen him, yeah. He gets hot girls, and he doesn't try to sell pretty at all. Like,
yeah, but
and I think it's so funny, and it works for him. Like he's one of those people that found like how to be yourself 1,000% and still make it work for you.
Yes, yeah, I agree. It's like for me though, it's like I also still grew up in kind of that old school. Like my dad was very much like when you leave the house, like you need to look good, like you need to have fucking cologne on. Like, I, you know, I don't leave the house without a fucking dash of Chanel. Like, I need a little bit of spray. I need to smell same nice.
Here. Same here. I mean, you've never seen me in sweatpants.
No. But I don't know. I like, at the same time, though, I like shit like sweatpants. I like that.
I love them.
Yeah, that athleisure kind of shit. But I wouldn't wear, like, sweatpants to a show. I might wear, like, the right pair of track pants to a show because I feel like.
I might wear sweatpants to a show. But if I wear sweatpants to a show, it's like an outfit, though. It's not like, you know.
Yeah.
Probably got the matching jacket with it and you know you try to look presentable, like,
yeah. I feel
like women, they do such they go through so much to try to look nice, so why don't men are just like, yeah, just got spaghetti on it, like, presentable, what the fuck are you doing?
You know, I will say probably female comics don't get enough credit for how much work they put into like also looking the part for and getting that side of the business, because like a lot of times when you see a female comedian on stage, like aside from what you're watching the material and all that, on a separate note, sometimes I'm like, wow, like she really showed out for this, like she fucking, it looks like she bought a dress for this show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I'm wearing like the same jacket for,
yeah, that's just them on their regular life. That's the plight, that's their plight, and I appreciate it. I try to give it back. You're going to buy a dress, I'm going to buy a dress. We both going to have dresses on stage.
I think you make more gay jokes than almost anyone I know. I feel like, I don't know what it is. I always feel this gay tension with you. I just want to make out with you.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But, I don't make a lot of gay jokes.
Look at you blushing now.
That was a thing. But yeah, that's the way at least I try to live. I don't know how, you know, I kind of like I can't say that I've, you know, cause some comedians you see and you're like, this guy's a slob.
Yeah. This guy better be funny.
This guy's a slob. Yeah. But for the most part, I say, especially in New York, like New Yorkers, I think a lot of them, like we put ourselves together. Like,
cause
I'm like going through, like most people I see, like even with whatever their thing may be, they're always like them. And they're always like, you know,
Right.
Like Big J got the finger gloves and the jersey, but it looks like put together. Like,
yeah, it still works.
Yeah, this is what he does.
Yeah, did you see, are you subscribed to any OnlyFans accounts?
No. Are you?
No, but I follow some of those girls on Twitter. But, and like.
Yeah, like, I got friends.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like. And I don't, there's nothing wrong with OnlyFans. To me, whenever I see like a new chick starts an OnlyFans, I'm just like, yeah, you know what I mean? Get your money. What the fuck do I care? But
yeah, send me a discount code.
Oh, please. You know what I mean? Cause dude, I know the day I start paying for OnlyFans accounts, I'm not gonna be able to pay rent.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie though. I've been tempted. There's been a where I'm like, I want to pay for this. I want to pay to see these photos, but I never have.
There's a girl that like oh my God, that drives me nuts. Her name is like Princess Helena.
Yeah.
She's like this, I don't know if she's black or half black, but she just fucking, look her up on Twitter, folks. It's unbelievable.
But I've seen, I mean, why would you even, like I've seen your Snapchat, like why would you even need to like pay for photos?
Because Ian, it's never enough. That's the problem with being a man. It's never enough. Like it's always, you know what I mean? I'm never going to get bored of seeing women. It's like my favorite part of being outside is just getting to look at women. Like I just love it.
You're what's wrong. You're what's wrong with the patriarchy.
No, but I'm not bothering them. Yeah. I just have sunglasses on. I walk around with my coffee and I just admire their
dress
beauty.
Coat, dick out and you just admire them from afar.
Stuck to do it like a whole, like a false pocket.
Yeah.
No, like I never, like, I'm the last guy to like bother you. You know what I mean? Like, I've never.
You would meet like me too. Like, I'm like, I don't even. There's time, most of the time, I don't even speak to women. Like, if I don't know you, if I don't know you, we're not friends. Like, I'm probably not going to speak to you. Like,
yeah, unless you talk to me.
Yeah.
The chances that I speak to you in some fashion are extremely low. Like, right. I'm very shy with new people. Like, I don't, you know.
Yeah. And honestly, it's not even like I don't want to speak to you or like I don't speak to you out of respect. Like, most of the times, I don't want people speaking to me. So, out of respect, yeah. I'm not speaking to you. I don't think I've ever seen a girl in the street and like catcalled her or went up to her and talked to her. Like,
dude, there was a guy. I'm the exact same way, but there's a dude who sits on my corner on fucking like 13th and First Avenue in New York. And he fucking just sits on a fire hydrant for like an hour every Sunday. And he just catcalls every girl that walks by. And he drops the same line on every one of them.
I mean, but he's a staple in your neighborhood.
And yeah. He's not like a creep. He's just like a dude who's like 25. He just posts up and sits there, like, looks put together. And every chick, and I'm standing at the taco cart, just like watching, because to me, this is now like a fucking, like a low budget TV show. Yeah. So, and he just, what he does to every girl that walks by, he goes, "Wow. Okay." And sometimes.
That's a good line, though. You have to admit, that is a good line.
Sometimes.
Like, you wanted more. Like,
yeah. They turn around.
Yeah. And he's like, "Wow, what?" Like, yeah. That's good.
And he'll go, "Where'd you get those pants?" And it doesn't matter what they
say. A lot of stores are closed. Department stores are closing. You don't know where you get those pants from.
But what's really fun is because, you know, New York City has so many different people. It's the game is betting which one of these girls is going to stop. That's the game.
Yeah. And it works sometimes. Like, it works sometimes. They get girls. The other day I was at the Apple store and I was talking to a friend of mine and we were just having a conversation, like a deep, like we were talking about, I forgot what we were talking about, like Corona and like how it affected him. And like mid, like some girl walks by and mid conversation, he's like, hold up. And he just leaves me and goes to talk to, like walk alongside of her and talk to her. I'm like, I've never done that in my entire life. Yeah. And then he comes back. I'm like, what happened? He's like, oh, nah, she wasn't with it. She's rich. And I was like, do you do that? He was like, yeah, every time I see a girl I like, I go up to him and I talk to him. I'm like, see,
to me, that's like a mental illness. Yeah. Like, I don't understand how people like go and just bother people like that and be like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know what I mean? Because to me, it's like.
But then he started showing me like girls that he's gotten like off the streets. And I'm like, maybe I should be doing this. Maybe I need to be talking to every girl.
Every guy has this dilemma in his head where he's like, when I see a girl that I really want, that I want to be with, I'm just going to go up and say hello. And we almost never do. Yeah. And, but like, we always weigh it in our heads. Like, I'm sure that guy's going to get laid for like every once in a while or meet a girl or even meet a chick to date from doing that. Because it's still
probably going to get off. Because, you know, I mean, I'm sure you know this. Like, I've spoken with a lot of like really attractive girls and some of them, they were like, you reach a level of attractiveness where nobody talks to you.
Yeah.
Because everybody thinks that you're out of their league. And they were like, nobody really tries to talk to them.
Yeah, that's why, like,
with ugly guys like me and you.
I noticed on dating apps, like, if you, any time that I've ever messaged a girl and been like, wow, you're gorgeous or like, you're sexy as fuck, anything like that, it always gets zero response. Because, like, you're already putting them on a pedestal. The chase is over. You're already being like, I'm already into you. Yeah. It's like, what you have to do is you got to be like, what's up with that forehead, bitch? No, I'm just joking. But you have to like, you have to say something like, I feel like negging is done. Like every single girl like on a dating app now just negs me and it's never funny or entertaining anymore.
I'm getting negged too, bro. And I'm like, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I thought we were like court each other. And they're like, what are you? Some idiot, little idiot with stupid ass eyebrows. I'm like, what? I don't even know who you are. And then it's like, we're comedians. So it's like, do you want me to start roasting you back? Like,
yeah.
Would that even be fair if I just started roasting you back?
This girl one time was like, roast me. And I wrote some shit and she blocked me.
You wrote back like a roast back?
I wrote back and she blocked me. And like I was like, yeah, you asked a professional. Like, what do you want? Right. It's gonna hurt. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like negging. Like I'll take the compliment.
Yeah, me too. I'll take the compliment. Like, but every chick will start off like, now it's like so played out. And I actually heard John Mayer talking about this on a podcast where he was talking about, he's like,
you're listening to the John Mayer podcast?
John Mayer is like, he's just an unbelievable guitar player. Like on a technical level, he's just incredible. Yeah. He's cool. Yeah, he's a cool dude. So he, but he was talking about like, he had like two really down years in his life. And he's like, and I would get drunk and I'd go to the bar and like some young chick would walk up to me and like start talking. And he's like, and what she would think in her head is, she's like, I want to separate myself. So I'm going to go up and say something mean. So she'd be like, aren't you that like old guitar guy? So that, even though like she knows who he is and like, but she goes that way. And he's like, but what she doesn't realize is every other person has gone that route. So all I hear all day is like, hey, you fucking stupid piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that. Now, whenever I get that now, I'm like, this isn't hot or fun anymore. Yeah. But
not to mention, like, and you don't want to sound like a little bitch, but we also have feelings, you know? Like, you don't want to just be shit on, like, at a bar. And I could take it. I'm not going to say that you're going to shit on me and I'm going to start crying. But my interest is not going to be the same. Like,
yeah.
It just roasted me.
Dude, I've like the conversations I've had on dating apps like over the last 6 months, even year, are just like, it's always I made my age range from 18 to 40.
Right.
So I was like, let's push it. You know what I mean? Let's go up to fucking 40. Like, because every single young chick, dude, that's like 22, 23, like I've noticed every last one of them, they have no interest in meeting. It's they want to text you and find out every single thing about you before they meet you. Yeah. And to me, like, to me, the game is let's meet up as fast as possible so we don't have to text. So that way we could just see, do we vibe with each other? Do our energies match?
You inviting them to your house at 3 a.m. to see?
Yeah. No, but like kind of. But also it's because every bar closes at 11.
Yeah. Now it's like, okay.
You don't have a choice.
The door was open.
Yeah, but also it's like, dude, I genuinely – Like, for example, the girl I've been hooking up with and the girl I've been seeing, she's like, what'd you say?
I said, I genuinely want head.
That's a hot stance.
This isn't an act.
But like, I remember she, like the every time I would hit her up to hang, you know, and I give you like two chances, you know, I'll be like, hey, you want to meet tonight? I'll usually send that message at like midnight. And she was like, I thought at first you just thought I was like some whore, but she's like, then I got to know you. I realized because of your sleep schedule and your life schedule and your work schedule, like midnight is right around where I'm like, okay, now what's up in my love life? Like that's the time right. I can look like, away from
right
the rest
the
of my day.
Kicks in and you're ready to go. So, but you like, to be honest, when I was like, I wasn't even dated. Like, cause I was just so busy every night and I wasn't even like, I can't even go on a date like with the world is open because I'm not going to take a night off like to risk this. So you can meet me at the club, at the comedy club, and we can see if we vibe there. But to take a night off, you know, that's tough. That's a lot. That puts a lot of pressure on the relationship.
Yeah.
Like, with somebody you just met.
And also like that, it's crazy, but as like, I'm trying to get to that exact same place of just all my energy, 95% of my energy goes into my work. And it's like, I mean, no bullshit. Like we're recording this the day after the first episode of this podcast came out. So I recorded that yesterday. Today I'm recording this. This is going to be for the next week. Like, I mean, in the last 2-3 days, dude, just work wise, I have done more than I've done in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Like no bullshit. Like in terms of like, getting the fucking artwork done.
You had a relaunch, so.
A relaunch. But also, like, dude, I was recording every episode last minute as shit.
Yeah.
Like, literally, sometimes.
That's why you could never get me on. It's not that I didn't want to do it. It's that you would hit me up at 3:15. Like, hey, could you do a podcast at 3:16? And I'm like, oh, 3:16. I'm masturbating. You know that.
I'm just trying to break your habit.
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. Now I'm like, okay, I'm going to be, I want to can like a fucking 6-7 weeks of episodes within like a week. You know what I mean? And like have everything together, have it rolling out for people and treat this shit like a fucking business. And it's like when it's easier to do when I'm not bullshitting on social media or sitting on Bumble trying to fucking, you know, see if some chick wants to grab a drink late at night. Like, it's all energy, dude. There's just such a finite amount of time. And I don't want to be 50 and be like, fuck yeah, like, I got laid by that one chick. Because, like, dude, I've already had, like, I've had enough sex in my life at this point where, like, if it stopped tomorrow, I'd be like, I had a good run. You know what I mean? Like, I've had enough hookups. I've had enough sex where I'm like, I get it. Like, I understand sex evolves and all that, and there's always shit to learn. But, like, I've had more sex than most people will have. So it's like, you know what I mean? Let's just fucking leave it alone. Now, like, let's just focus my energy on work and porn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's subjective because, you know, there's a, I know a bunch of guys who are like legit, like, sex addicts, and to them, it's never enough. I'm not like that, but I know a lot of guys who are like, I know guys that are like, I need like three girls a night, like on the regular, not like on some, I did three girls in one night, one time. They're like, this is what I need.
Yeah, yeah. It's just to sustain some sense of normalcy.
To carry forward, like, this is what I need. Like, how I need food.
I used to have, like, a similar thing. Like, there was a time I was hooking up with, like, 3-4 different women a week. Yeah. Like, pretty regularly. Like, I wouldn't really miss weeks. And, like, but it was just, like, that was just the cycle of my lifestyle. And I think a lot of that was, like, it's just ego. And a lot of it is just seeking validation.
For
like,
sure.
Is the two things. So, and it's the same thing, like how me and you talk about, sorry, like we're not the type to go up and approach or catcall or any of that bullshit. But it's like, because I guarantee if you break it down to like a molecular level, like if you go deep enough in why you feel that way, it's probably insecurity, not wanting to feel embarrassed and like getting rejected, and fucking like a low self-esteem in some like childhood areas. Like, it's probably shit like that. And that's like why you don't want to go approach women. Cause like, I guarantee it's that for me. Like, sometimes I'll look at social interactions I have with like a new person. Like, I did a show the other day in fucking Central Park, and the woman producing the show was like super nice lady, like hot, like, you know, like young chick, and she was like producing the show. She's like, you're going to go next. And I was like, okay, great. But I could just tell, I'm like, I am so weird with like people that it's like that. Like, I don't know them.
Yeah.
I'm straight. Like, I can tell, like, I'm being short or like something. I can tell I'm not 100% giving them like a perfect interaction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think it's more in your head though. Probably if you ask her, she was like, yeah, I asked him to go next. And he said, yeah, it was no big deal. And,
maybe
it's probably in your head, but yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. Sometimes I envy, cause you know, I have a lot of female friends and we'll have conversations and they're like, you know, like they legit, don't have a desire to be with like different people at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's amazing. That's, you know, like most guys I know who are out here like hooking up with multiple people, like if you really talk to them, a lot of them are like, I wish I didn't have the desire. Like,
yeah,
I was just like, not to make an excuse for them, because have self-control, you know, is what the argument would be. But I'm just saying, like, it's not like, I know a lot of dogs out here that are like, I don't want to be this way, it's how I am.
Yeah. No, dude, I think like legitimately, I think what most men want is that feeling of, I wish I could just be with this one woman and I don't want to fuck anyone else and things would be easy. And but we just have this like curse in us that like, right. I think it's like this primal thing that's like, I think it's honestly what keeps people on the earth is it's what's created people is men have this kind of unquenchable thing in their brain that's like, you need new. And I think it's all just like spreading your sperm.
I'm not here to make, they're going to be like, look at these two assholes making excuses for why men are dogs. That's not what we're doing.
No, we're not.
Honestly, it's just honestly speaking what a lot of guys, all my guy friends and you know, guys who you just have these conversations with, and a lot of them don't want to be like searched, but they have the desire to like get the new and pray, you know. And I don't think that's ever going away.
And I do think, here's the thing. I think women too do have, like when they're dating a guy, I think they do have a desire to fuck somebody else like every 3 to 6 months. I'm sure it's there. I just think it comes from a different place. That's it. I just think it comes from like a different thing. For men, it's like
satisfaction with your guy.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. But we could be fully satisfied, love the girl, everything is perfect, this girl, I'm going to marry her, And then that desire doesn't go away.
Yeah. Every single guy I know that's in a relationship, like, it's hard for him to fuck in the relationship. Because it's like...
I've heard that.
Yeah. Once the guy's like, I don't know what, like, what I notice in a relationship, when I'm in a relationship, the girl wants to fuck a lot. And me, like, I don't want to fuck that much. Because it's just like, I don't know, there's something, like, sad about it. It's like, now we're together. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's the, it, I think it's like that hunting thing is just gone. Like, I think that's a big part of it. I don't know. It's something. But it, every single man I know has told me, like, yeah, in a relationship, like, it's hard for me to, like, almost, I think in almost every single relationship, the girl wants to fuck more than the guy does.
Yeah, give me 1 second. I have to put my computer to charge.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I don't know, because I remember I thought I was, like, a weirdo for having that thought, and then I was talking to a friend of mine who's married, and he's like, yeah, I mean, I think the hardest thing for men is, like, keeping up a fucking libido in a relationship, and I don't know why that is. I'm sure some fucking, you know, some guy like Dr. Drew or some shit can, like, break it down. But it's, I don't think people give enough credit to how much of, like, the shit we do and all of our stuff is just pure, like, primitive human nature that, like, we, it's hard to control. You know what I'm saying?
Could you hear me?
When you're gone?
No, right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like... And it, listen, I know it don't sound like we're good people. I know that. I could, you know.
No, but the truth is, we do our best. Like
some people are not, like, some guys are not, like, shit. Like, that's just, like, I'm like, damn, like, this how you know, like, some guys are just not good people. I see those guys, but, like, generally, most guys I know want. I aspire to be good when it comes to, like, relationships, and convince ourselves to be like, you know, I'll get it together at this point, or I'll get it together at this point. And, you know, I'm young and I'm going to live my life and I'm going to, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think man in general, like in almost like a biblical sense, and I mean, men, I mean, like, humans, like, we have a, I think by nature, we have a desire to be good.
You think so?
I think so. I think we have a desire to be good. I think a lot of people fall short, but I think most people want to be good. Like, deep in their heart, that's what they want. You know what I mean? That's just how I see the world. I think people want to do the right thing. I think people want to have morals and want to live virtuously. I just think it's rare that they actually truly make it happen.
Well... I guess I'd agree with that. I'd say most. You're saying most. Yeah, most.
Yeah, I think
most people are like that, you know. But then, you know, normal human shit, like, gets in the way of that, like, selfishness and greed and, you know, desire for power gets in the way of it. But, like, most people who I know, that's like when people, like, you know, like, people shit on New Yorkers, like, oh, New Yorkers, you're rude. I'm like, no, we're not. We're just people. Like,
right.
We're literally just people, like, living our lives. Like,
and you won't survive here if you're just super nice and open to everybody, because you get accosted by fucking strangers and, like, you know, cons all the goddamn time on the street. Right. So it's like,
but I still think most people are nice and polite and nice people. And, you know, I was in, like, I was born and raised here, and I was in the city during 9/11, and I was in the city during Hurricane Sandy, and I was in the city in every big catastrophic shit that has happened in New York. I was here, and New Yorkers came together like genuine, kind people. Like, they are. So it'd be like, so, like, I had a friend that was visiting recently, and she was like, she was walking, and somebody said, like, hi to her, and she thought, like, what, like, this is not New York. Like, I thought everyone was like, fuck you. And I'm like, what?
Every person that you walk past is like, fuck you.
Yeah. Like, where did you get
garbage at you?
Yeah, where did you get this idea? It's like a fast city. In a fast city, you don't have time for, you know, the bullshit. So that's, I guess that's why it comes off as, like, rude. But I wouldn't say that New York is rude.
No, I wouldn't either. And I also feel like what you were saying about like men wanting to be good. Like, I think I'm very hard on myself on like the way I come off, because like, look, we're not idiots. Like, we're aware, like we understand what two men talking about shit like this can sound like, but it never comes from that place. And I feel like every girl I've like dated is always like, cause I'm always like the first to be like, ah, I'm this and that, and make fun of myself on shit like that. Yeah. And I'll even like call myself a misogynist, like as a joke. And then a girl I'm dating be like, you're not a misogynist. Like, she's like, you're a feminist. You just don't want to have the title of that. And like,
I feel like a lot of people don't want to have the title of that. Even, yeah. Like a lot, some women I meet don't want, like, they just don't want to be titled that. And I'm like, all right. I mean, I guess it's a title and I guess it has its negative connotations to it. But I don't know. I just come from a world where it was never a question, like, for me. I mean, most of the people in my family are women. I have three sisters, and yeah, my family is mostly women.
Your dad's a woman.
Yeah. Well, he's, in the transition, but Corona's ruining everything. But, I never grew up from that place. Like, I didn't even hear, I think I've said this before, I didn't even hear, like, that whole notion of women aren't funny. I never even heard of that till I was in comedy. Like, till I was like a couple years in comedy. Like, I was like, is this a thing? Like, I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I just grew up with a bunch of funny people. My mom is hilarious. Like, aunts are funny. Like, they know.
For
like,
sure. Yeah, my mom is the funniest person in my family.
Yeah, like at a party, my mom would kill at a party, you know? Like, just, you know, just her natural being. So I never heard that. As in comedy, and I started to hear it. But I was like, that's a wild.
But I don't even know if that's like a real fucking opinion in comedy. To me, it's just like, it's the same joke as like women be shopping. It's just like a throwaway, like easy fucking. Because I think there's in comedy, even I think most people aren't funny. And it's like, it doesn't matter what gender they are. It's just there's a lot of unfunny people, because it takes like 10, 15 years for people to really get great on a stage. Yeah. Like, great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I agree. Generally, just people aren't funny.
Yeah.
And men put it on women. But it's also the kind of thing, like, it's also a lot of times it's these shitty, insecure men that don't want to give women that power of being funny. And they'll hold on to like whatever little shit that they could think of. Like, oh, they always talk about sex, or they always talk about this, or why they always gotta be about this. And it's like, dude, say what you want, but you're just too insecure to be able to like let a woman know, like, yeah, she's funny. But I like love funny women. And is there anything better than like when you're like with somebody who you think it's funny, like when she thinks you're funny and you think she's funny, and it's just constant like just funniness when you hang out and she gets your jokes, and you could be out and some shit happens and you guys are just look at each other and you're like, we're gonna talk about this later, like this
and you guys could both completely be your true selves in the humor of it. It's those are the best highs, I think, in a relationship.
For sure. So these guys that are like, women aren't funny, I'm like, so you're like, so the person, everybody you've been with, like everybody you hooked up with, you don't look for a sense of humor in them at all? Like, you just completely knock that off the dating pool. You're like, I'm not looking for a sense of humor because you're not funny. So
yeah, I think, that's one of the most important things. It's just like, does that person make you laugh? It's like any girl I've ever dated for a long enough period of time, they were funny. Like, I can't date you for longer than 2 weeks if you're not funny. Like, it's just that's just the fucking facts of it. And that's why I never, like, even really thought there were people that actually, like, push that narrative. Because, like, dude, as, like, a fan of comedy, I mean, like, we work the clubs. Like, dude, Bonnie McFarlane.
Yeah. I mean, you can run down the list.
There's
just all of them. Literally.
Yeah, there's just so many. Like, just, it's people. Like, this is the thing, I think, with my generation, too, is, like, we don't give a shit about gender. We don't give a fuck about, like, we hardly care about race or anything. It's like, to me, like, if the next president is a black trans woman, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. To me, it's like, what are your policies? What are you saying? So it's like, I never looked at female comics as like in a separate box. And I feel like people in my generation don't really, because like it's not shocking to us if a woman's running the country, if a woman's running a company, like we don't give a shit. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's not unusual to us.
100%. 100% is like older. I mean, you see it a lot on the road. Like sometimes I'll be, you know, if I'm doing a club or whatever, and there's like a woman on the lineup too on the road, a lot of the older crowds, like they'll say these little remarks to me. And I'm like, to be honest, you try to like kind of not make it a thing, but I'm like, first of all, like this is probably my friend. Like, all right, maybe I just met her, or whatever. But this is my friend. She's a comedian. She's trying. And then you're also, this is also, it's like you're wrong. Like,
Yeah. You're wrong.
You ever like, is there anything like more attractive than like, you ever been having a conversation with a woman and
no.
like, she,
it's and usually she, just me talking.
She's like, just quick, like just quick, like how a comedian is quick. Like you'll say yeah. something and she'll just have like a quick, funny retort to it where you're like, damn, like, all right, this girl.
Yeah.
This girl thing. And that's not saying that you got to be funny, but I'm just saying just like, I think most guys aren't fun, you know, like most.
Yeah, I agree. I do think my one piece of sexist, like my one sexist opinion on the subject is this. I think men by nature are 10% better storytellers than women. Like it's rare. I meet a lot of funny women. It's rare that I've dated girls who know how to structure a story. You okay, know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't have the percentages on that, and I don't know. I'll counter that. I meet a ton of guys where I'm like, I'm out of this story. Like I'm done. Like it's
yeah.
it's too long. I'm not into it. But just think we all suck. Yeah.
Well, you know what? My opinion actually probably gets shaped by the fact that like the men I talk to. I mean, almost all my friends are in comedy, so it's like those guys know how to tell a fucking story. Whereas the women I know, if they're outside of comedy, they're women I'm dating. So I'm just going out of like the normal pool of society. Yeah. No, but it's just like the normal pool of society. Whereas like if I pulled 10 guys on the street, they'd probably be pretty fucking bad at telling stories too.
For sure.
You know? So.
Yeah. That's 100%. That's 100%.
I noticed.
But it's like you said, it's just like the younger generations, like most of us speaking broadly and generally don't care like about these things that are, you know, older people cared about, our parents or whoever, like these big things were like, oh yeah, that's not a thing to us. Like, if I were a regular, you know, if I lived in the middle of Kansas City with, you know, whatever, my girl. Yeah. And I saw Nikki Glaser was coming to town. I'd be like, yeah, I want to go see Nikki Glaser. She makes me laugh so much. Like,
and I never understand the bash on like, because like one thing Nikki gets hit on is like if, you know, some fucking guy on Reddit would be like, she just talks about sex. And it's like, yeah, but male comics, like you have to say that same person is going to watch a male comic do 40 minutes on blowjobs and be like, this is awesome. It's like, it's the same thing. What are you talking about? You know,
and even if she does talk about sex, she's legitimately the best at it. Like guy or girl, she's the best at talking about sex. Like she has like how many specials out and they're still all good. Like,
yeah.
So if you don't want to hear about sex, then all right, whatever. But
one thing I learned about from producing a show was because I used to run a weekly comedy show and the audience was like, it was usually like half men, half women. And one thing that, you know, back when I used to book it, I would see, I was like, okay, let's say you have like three male comedians on in a row, right? Yeah. Everybody's doing well. Crowd's great. Everything's right. When I'd bring up a female comic and that comic would start doing well, I would notice immediately there was a different kind of laugh coming from the woman in the crowd. It was like it was like, okay, I'm relating to you on a deeper level now.
Sure.
And a show needs that. A good show should naturally have diversity. It shouldn't be forced and be like, we need to hit this fucking quota. It should have a natural diversity where like, ideally, I think a good show is just like a sample of society. You know what I mean? It's just like,
I think it should be a sample of society in New York or LA.
Yeah.
Not a sample of society in the middle of Mississippi.
Right. And also, I'm not one of those people that like, look, I also understood that when I was booking shows, like it would be really hard to book female comics. Like genuinely, like I could get like famous headliners that were men to come do the show on like a fucking day's notice. I could not get like a 2 to 3 year female comedian because they were too busy.
They're like,
I'm doing 100 shows. There's 99 guys that want to fuck me. They're giving me spots. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be able to get them. It was literally that big of a fucking change. And you know, this was years ago, you know, back when comedy was alive. But, like, you know, but I did always notice. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, oh, like, the women are laughing harder now. Now they're leaning out of their chair because this girl is talking about something that they can really, really relate to. You know?
I mean, I guess I could understand that because, you know, girl, you know, this is a mostly white male dominated sport, comedy. So
Do you think so?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but the country, I mean, most of the country is white and most of the country is actually women, but men are most stand-up comedians. It's always been that
way. But I always think comedy is mostly like Jewish guys and black guys.
I think those are, there's a lot of it. Yeah, yeah. A lot of it. But I mean, speaking from my experience, there's been plenty of times where I'm on a show and I know that I'm on the show as the palate cleanser.
Well, that's because that's how I bring you up.
Yeah,
right. Ladies and gentlemen, palate cleanser.
That was my stage name at the Apollo. But I don't mind it. I still was like, all right, I know why you brought me here, but I'm gonna still try to put it. You know,
I know why you brought me here.
Yeah, because it's and a lot of times it's not out of, like, they don't do it with bad intentions. They're trying to be diverse. They're trying to, like, be like, yeah, we're trying to give you, you know?
Well, yeah, when Black Lives Matter was, like, really popping off, I was like, all right, let's bring on black guests. Like, let's talk about, but it was more so just like, let's get your insight. You know what I mean?
Because you want to hear the story that doesn't always get a chance to be spotlighted. And you're like, all right, let's do it. So if you have me on the show, like, hey, I want to have you on the show. We want to talk about Black Lives Matter. I'm not going to be like, well, why do we got to talk about Black Lives Matter? What? I'm going to be like, you know what? There was a time where I wouldn't even get the opportunity to be on the show, where you just have another white guy like you, so you guys could talk about each other's dicks for an hour. If you want to have me for this, all right, let's do it. I'm gonna bring it still. I'm gonna bring it. This this is what I do. And if you give me the opportunity, I'm gonna bring it. And I feel like a lot of women do the same, as when they know they're like the women on the show, but they still bring it. They still capitalize, especially in New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I also like, I don't know. I've always just kind of felt like when people are, you know, because in New York City comedy, and this might be like too inside for people or whatever. I don't know if they even give a shit about hearing about comedy, but like there would be people like about
gender roles and gender issues and stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. No, but people would be like, there's not enough like representation of diversity and all this shit stand up. And to me, like if you look at a great lineup at a club, like there's black women, there's white women, there's whatever. Like I know trans comics who are like very funny. Like there was just a diverse lineup at a lot of shows I would see. And there's definitely some comedy clubs, you know, like they'd book the same fucking 60-year-old white guys who aren't that good, but they've been working the place for 30 years. Yeah. So they have like some connection to Booker. And like every time we watch them, we're like, all right, these guys fucking suck. But like, I also get it. You know what I mean? Like the Booker loves that guy. It's like, it's what it is. It's like they're personal friends. So, and that person's been doing it for 30 fucking years. So it's like, I'm not going to look and be like, all right, just cause I think this guy sucks and he's not killing, like whatever, you know what I mean? But yeah. I don't know. It's just fucking, I think to me, like being a comedian in New York, I've just always felt like when people are like, women don't get enough representation in comedy, I'm just like, go to like the fucking Cellar or the Stand. Like there's so many funny women on the lineups. Like I just don't see it. Like it's hard for me to hear that and then watch Marina Franklin go up and just body a set.
So good.
Just front to back body and be like, yeah, women, like there's not, you know what I mean? It's like, no, they're the super funny ones are murdering and people know how funny they are. You know what I mean?
As bad as things are right now with everything going on, I still like find that I kind of like where we're heading. And when I say we, I just mean like the younger generation. Like I like where the younger generation is taking things. Like as crazy as it may seem right now, like it seems like we're in the middle of a revolution. But before things can change, things like this happen. If you look through history, like a lot of times this is stuff that happens.
There needs to be unrest.
I like where we are just as a society, not black, white women, just as a young the young generation. Of course, we have our faults and we can be extremely PC, which needs to, you know, we need to draw that back. And there's a lot of things where we need to draw back and the whole cancel culture, which is like a young thing that we need to kind of work on. But just the genuine respect of each other, I like where we're headed for like the young generation.
I agree. And I think we don't really give a shit anymore about, like, I think 10 years from now, nobody's gonna give a fuck about your sexuality, your gender, whatever the fuck. Like, I don't think anyone's gonna care. I think nearly everything is gonna be normalized. Like, and I think it's just because naturally we just don't give a shit. Like the older folks care about those issues and it's a reason to be upset because it's not what they grew up in. For us, like, we grew up around it. It's normal. Like, all it comes down to is like, what was normalized when you were growing up? Yeah. And it's like, that's, well, it's a lot,
like,
of what
honestly, it's like, I don't, like you said, I don't give a shit. It's like, It's like
we're too worried about our depression and our teeth. Like, we don't give a fuck what anybody else is doing. You know what I mean?
It's tough because you hear some people are like, some people, you know, they're serious about it. Like, you know, and like I people like, you know, you go place in this country. You're from North Carolina, you're from the South. People are like, yo, gay people can't get married. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I really don't. Like,
but here's the thing. Even where I grew up, there wasn't, like, we didn't hear that. Like, I remember the first time I met... Like, I grew up in, like, a pretty liberal... Like, I grew up in, like, kind of southern suburbs outside of a tiny little liberal city in North Carolina, outside of Raleigh. So, it was like...
So, like, if you grew up in Long Island?
No, I would... It would actually, it would be more like if you kind of... I'm trying to think of a good example. It was, like, it was very 50-50. Like, everybody's parents were Republicans... Kids were like split, but it felt like it evened out.
Long Island, okay.
Yeah, but like when in my high school, right? Like I remember the first time I met like a gay kid, and I was like, oh, he's gay. Like this is a gay person. At first, I was just really turned on. You know? No, but like I at first I was like, oh, this is like I've heard so much about them. Like this is like a, you know what I mean? It's almost like a culture shock in a tiny way, and then you realize like. And as you're experiencing it, you're like, no one cares. Everybody likes this guy. And like, I never, I don't know, I can't speak for them because maybe, you know, where I grew up, maybe it was hard for them and people were shitting on them. I have no idea. I don't know what their fucking nights were like when they were home alone. But I never saw growing up somebody, like in my community, somebody shitting on a gay person for being gay or like nobody cared. Like nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, growing up in New York, man, I was born and raised in Queens. It was... I don't even remember the first gay person I met. That's how liberal and not caring, nonchalant it was. I don't remember that person. It wasn't an experience for me. It was just like, oh, you're gay? Cool.
Well, I think that most of the country, I mean, if I had to estimate, I would think 90-something percent of the country has just come to realize, like, yeah, there's probably gay people in your family, and sexuality is a spectrum, and, like, it's what it is. Who gives a shit? You know what I mean? There's a lot of straight guys out here who would suck a dick. There just are. Like, that's, you know what I mean? It's just a fucking line and a curve. I'm talking to one right now. But, like, but you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't think anybody, like, cares anymore. Maybe I'm just ignorant, but, like, and because I live in this bubble in New York City, but when I go do shows on the road and stuff, I never feel like there's people in this crowd who are, like, against gay men. I don't think anybody cares about that shit, you know?
I run into those crowds. I run into the crowds. But more often than not, it's the same type of crowds of the same type of people who would be racist, where it's, like, they don't know many gay people. They don't know many black people. So their opinion is still based on what they think or what they heard. But, you know, I've had the thing where, you know, I've done, like, opening up for Burt, I've done, like, all-white Trump Republican crowds, which after the show they'll come up to me and be like, they'll be like surprised, and like they kind of treat me like, oh, you're one of the good ones.
Yeah
No, I'm not one of the good. Some people are cool, some people are assholes. It's just what it is.
So like I remember when I was growing up, I mean, like my best friend my whole childhood was this black family that lived next door. It was this kid Brandon, and I loved this. Yeah, he lived in the house in the back. the little one. No, like I spent most, like I would go out to dinner with them all the time. I'd have dinner at their house all the time. Like we were like brothers. You know what I mean? Like we were genuinely that close. Yeah. So to me, having a black friend was like a black best friend that I would always hang out with. It wasn't like weird to me. It didn't stand out in any way. But to other people, I would hear stuff like looking back, they'd be like, but that they're like the good ones. You know what I mean? Like that.
I mean, if you heard that, imagine the amount of times that, you know, I've heard that like said or whispered. And it's like.
And you'd hear shit like that in the South. And that's when I realized, like, looking back, I'm like, and even when they said that, you know, as a kid, even I was like, that's like, you can't say that's fucked up. Like, you can't just assume. Cause, like, I'm Jewish. So to me, anytime anyone wants to label a race of people or a group of people as something, as a Jew, I feel a moral obligation to defend that group. You know what I mean?
Because it's funny.
What'd you say?
I said, unless it's funny. Yeah. Unless the liberalization is funny. Then
for sure. For sure.
Like, that's hilarious.
No, but like that's why I never understand like Jewish people who can then be racist towards another group. I'm like, you're a Jew. Like this is what Germans did to us. How the fuck? And here's the thing. I don't fuck with Germans to this day, and I never will. I never forgive them for that shit. You understand? And honestly, I might never forgive the Chinese for what's happening right now. But, but
what
I mean,
what do they do?
COVID, baby. COVID in Pearl Harbor. I'm just joking. No, but COVID, you know what I mean? It's like,
mad about Chinatown. No,
like they fucked up my order. Just furious. Yeah. I might never forgive them. No, but like, I don't care who the fuck you are. I don't care what you're. I love people's races. Like, I love, because it brings humor. It brings connection. Like, I love knowing what somebody is. I hate like these people who are like, her race doesn't matter. I'm like, but that's even worse to say. I'm like, why would you not be like, yeah, she's black. It was like, why can't you say that? It's not offensive. Like, she can be proud of the fact that she's black. If you start saying it like, I shouldn't have to tell you she's black, then you're implying it's like something she shouldn't talk about.
Dude, I it's so funny, like, because obviously I know you're joking about the thing, with the Chinese thing, but it's so funny because I hear people say that and mean it, and I'm like, I know people, I mean, my family's from the Dominican Republic, and
yeah.
I know some of the stuff that I've known them to eat over there, like some of the parts of animals that I've known them to eat that they make cuisine out of, I'm like, that easily could have been the start, you know, like, you got lucky that the disease was in bats and not in pig blood, because y'all fry pig blood and eat it.
Jesus.
So it's like every race has some wild cuisine of stuff that they eat.
Yeah.
So I think we should all just be like, whew, thank God it wasn't in bull nuts, because I love me some bull nuts.
No, for sure. Dude, I know you got like a pod coming up, a show coming up soon. You got College Geeks, but dude, thank you so much for coming out. I have fucking 30 things on this paper here that we could have talked about, but like, it's just always a blast hanging with you, dude.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, I don't even think we touched on the topic that you were like.
We didn't touch it. Yeah, I wrote down Blue Chew, losing boners, flying women in, sexting. We didn't touch any
good stuff. We could have. We do that. We'll do that for the next one.
Yeah. So I'll get. Maybe we'll get you and Jordan on the next one, because I have a couple stories I wanted to share, but...
Yeah. Keep that list, though. That's a good list.
Yeah. But, dude, thank you so much for coming. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Ian Lara Live, and on Twitter, Ian Lara Live. That's mostly where I'm at now.
Be sure to follow him, and just a couple of announcements on my end. On my Instagram social media, there's now a link tree that connects you to everything I do. You can join the email list there. I send out an email every single Monday. I try to make it somewhat funny, talk about what's going on in the week. We're going to have merch. It's probably already out by the time this is out. So go grab a fucking t-shirt. Join the Patreon. It's $5 a month. You get an extra episode every single week, and I upload the Tuesday episodes with no ads. So go join the fucking Patreon. Tell a friend about it. For $10 a month, I follow you back on Instagram. $25, you get free tickets when I come to your city, all that shit. Support the show. Support shit you like. We're no longer in a fucking, you know, DirecTV cable society. Independently pay the people you like. That's the way this shit should move forward. So we're not all fucking paying AT&T. You know what I mean? It's just what it is. So leave a 5-star rating on the show. Just do whatever you can. Do something nice for the show. Subscribe on YouTube. Share it online. Shout it out if you enjoyed it. Post it on your Instagram story and tag us. That goes a fucking long way. Do something to support the show. Make sure you follow Ian. And I fucking love you guys. I'll see you on the Patreon episode.
All right. Thank you, love. Later.
All right, my guy. Thank you.